Well, good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Jesus. The name of this broadcast is Cross the Border, and I'm Nicholas, and this is a live weekly prophecy reality edition. And I'm guessing everyone or a few people might give me a sound check, but everything looks like it's working good here this morning, so we'll continue. Oh, what do we have today? Well, we have a lot of news items. I don't really have any particular prophecy teaching or anything that I want to go through. Thank you for that, Jace. So I'm just going to stick with the scripture and with whatever news items and contemporary, what's happening out there, because prophecy is being fulfilled. As we speak, we are getting closer to the return of Christ and to the last events of this age. And of course, this age is coming to an end shortly, and then a new age will begin, and it will be the millennial reign of Christ, that blessed epic of this creation. And we've discussed all of that, and but if anyone has any questions about prophecy or anything you'd like to ask, and maybe I can answer in the second hour. So I'll keep a track of them there in the chat room. Okay, what do we got? Some scripture. I've been going through Isaiah, as many of you know, and I had to pause at Isaiah 19. Because when I read it, it read to me, it says one thing, it says the burden of Egypt. But when I started reading it, it sounded so much like America today that I had to call it the burden of America. And so looking at Isaiah chapter 19 here, wherever I see the word Egypt, I'm just putting America in there. And it sounds just as if it was written for America. Now, I've been going through Isaiah and all of the judgments that God gave out, handed out through his prophets to all of the nations around Israel and then Judah and Israel itself at that time. And I began to wonder, but I didn't wonder very long, if God could do that for those nations, then why don't I find the burden of America in the scripture? And I've come to the conclusion that there's enough here that if anyone reads God's word, and especially Isaiah, if you're looking for God's judgment upon nations and what he has to say to America, well, you could just read through the book, and there's a lot of shoes there. And if the shoe fits, they say, as they say, wear it. Okay? And as a lot of shoes, there's a lot of things that are specifically addressed to all of these nations. And some of the specifics are like shoes that will fit. So when they fit, then you have the word for your nation at the time you're in when it fits. So God doesn't really need to write the burden to anyone anymore as far as his judgments and what he's going to do. I mean, we don't know specifically, because he did address and specifically through somewhat cryptic language explain what he would do. And with the help of, if you're going through Isaiah, make sure you have your Matthew Henry's commentary open so that some of the details can be explained to you, because a lot of these details have no place. There's no counterpart in understanding in the way that we think and write today in America. But Matthew Henry does an adequate job of explaining. Anyway, chapter 19 of Isaiah, the burden of America. Behold, the Lord rideth upon a swift cloud, and shall come into America, and the idols of Egypt shall be moved at his presence. Or I should say, the idols of America shall be moved at his presence, and the heart of America shall melt in the midst of it. has America's heart melted? It feels like it when we see what is going on here today. And he says, I will set the Americans against the Americans. Do we have a divided country today in America? And they shall fight every one against his brother and every one against his neighbor, city against city, and kingdom against kingdom, or how about state against state? You know, it really bothers me when I'm watching the news and or hearing other commentators, even Christian commentators, and they liken the entire 50 states of America to a single state over in Europe. Okay, when one of the states in America may be larger than 10 states over in Europe. And I think what I see here is that the judgment that God brings in to America, is he bringing it upon the whole land? Well, yeah, there are things that affect the whole land. But then the people of each state may be judged separately. Like in California, we've been having droughts here over the last 20 years. We've had majority drought years. Yeah. And it's pretty hard to take especially when you live in a valley that's like a desert, except for the watering, the channels. And that, in that way, Egypt and America are a lot the same too. When I'm going through this, the spirit of Egypt shall fail, or the spirit of America shall fail in the midst of it. And I will destroy the council thereof. Has America's council been destroyed? Well, absolutely. Absolutely. And, yeah, it seems I have a Californian in the chat room. Yes, I've heard that saying before. But anyway, I will destroy the council thereof. The council of America has been destroyed. Our council is all bad. It's all evil. It has been destroyed. It says, they shall seek to the idols and to the charmers and to them that have familiar spirits and to the wizards. See, they're not seeking to God. That's the whole point. They're looking everywhere except to the Lord God Almighty. And, you know, this whole burden, each of these chapters severally be called the burden of whatever land God is addressing about the judgment that's coming upon them. The burden is that judgment upon that land. He says, I will destroy the council thereof. And rather than these people seeking God, see, that's the whole point, is we haven't turned to God. We've turned to wizards and those that have familiar spirits. And we look to them as to save us. But all their counsel, he says, I will destroy the council thereof. Basically, if your counsel is bad, it's destroyed, because we have a lot of counsel, but none of it is worth anything. The point is, we need to turn to God, and only by repentance can we be spared. And I think it's going to get back down to a state by state, and even a person by person, because if you move on two chapters to chapter 21, you find that God is concerned with the individual too, and he brings individual judgments. And so by reading Isaiah in its entirety and going through it, you'll learn a lot of things about how God judges with nations, with different states or state nations, and different peoples and different people groups, even within a nation, and individuals, that he's concerned with them all, and he judges on every level. He doesn't forget or group people together unless they are grouped together themselves. So continuing here in Isaiah 19, and the spirit of America shall fail in the midst thereof, and I will destroy the council thereof. It says, I will. God says, I will destroy the council thereof. And they shall seek to the idols and to the charmers and them that have familiar spirits and to the wizards. And the Americans, yeah, I will give over to the hand of a cruel Lord. Have we been given over to the hand of a cruel Lord? Well, I don't know. Ask yourself. You see, this is where, yeah, you get banned. Has America suffered under the hand of a cruel Lord? I don't know. Would a cruel Lord trick people into doing something to themselves that would kill them and their children? And while telling them that it's good for them, that's pretty cruel if you ask me. You know, a lot of people, you look over there at the pretender-in-chief over there in Washington, D.C. at the White House, and you think, oh, he's not a cruel Lord. He's just a feeble old man. But who's behind him? And if he really, if from his cognizant moments that he does have, if he had his way, is not his way cruel to America? Well, yeah, it is cruel to America. I'm going to cut off your power. I'm going to make you pay more for fuel. I'm going to attack every liberty you have. It sounds pretty cruel to me. And a fierce king shall rule over them. But who is the king? Well, today the king of America is the Antichrist. And here's where I lose a lot of people. Going, oh, but God has not appointed me to wrath. Yes, and we won't know who the Antichrist is. We can't know who he is until the restrainer has been taken out of the way. Yeah, I'm sorry, but the restrainer was taken out of the way. How many years ago? 1600 years ago? Yeah, the thing that was identified by the early church as the restrainer. You know, those ones that had firsthand, second, you know, in the same generation, wherein the writer of the Apocalypse wrote, or the writer of the Revelation, John, wrote the Revelation. Those people, for that next generation, let's say 80, 90 years hence, after that generation, see, they had direct knowledge as to what the Revelator was speaking of and some of the questions that were answered. And what Paul wrote of in the 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 passage on the man of sin, where it is where the restrainer is mentioned. Okay? Now, of course, Paul wrote much earlier than John did. His prophecy, but of course, they were still talking about his prophecy soon after John wrote the Revelation. You know, some 30, 40 years later. Was it 30, 40 years or maybe 50 years later, depending on, was it about this 50s to 60s? So, yeah. But so that generation from the writing of the Apocalypse or the Revelation, they understood that the restraining power, the one in control of the world, was Imperial Rome and the Roman rulers. They were the only thing in the way of the Antichrist taking rule over the whole earth. And when that happened and the Antichrist rose up, some understood it, but most did not by that time. But when the Reformers came around, and there were pre-Reformation fathers, the witnesses that were few and existed in, that lived in sackcloth up until the Reformation, and prophesied in sackcloth and identified the man of sin until the Reformation came, and then the man of sin it became widely known by people who were bailing out of that great apostate church that was the Antichrist handiwork, the man of sin who was the Lord over that Antichrist church, that great apostasy. So that's who our cruel master really is, because he doesn't care. He's been murdering anyone for, you know, 1,000, 1,500 years. That's been his modus operandi, to murder all of them and not worry about it at all. If he has to kill some of his own, then that's fine with him too. That's how much they care for life. And so we've seen the murder of a great part of, you know, we've seen the death rate skyrocket in the last, from the last year, and that will continue into this year. And they're not done yet, though they've changed the narrative and got everybody's focus off. They're still working on the same plan to eliminate as many more people as they can, because the Antichrist hates you and he hates America. So he is our cruel Lord, the cruel one. A fierce king shall rule over them. The hand of a cruel Lord, saith the Lord of hosts. Saith the Lord of hosts. That's what the prophecy says that is so fitting to America. So if you want a prophecy that addresses America, well, here it is. Yes. Yes, Fireman Mike says, Supreme Court nominee Ketanji Brown Jackson says, pro-lifers are hostile, nosy, in your face. Yeah, well, they're not murdering you, are they? No, because they're trying to stop murder. That's how the only way you're going to stop murder is to be hostile, nosy, and in someone's face. Yeah. And that's what evil does. They are all murderers. And if they can't murder one way, they'll murder another way. If they can't murder you by poisoning you through deception, or outright the poison cup, because, you know, the Antichrist shadow government has been using the poison cup, ever since there was a poison cup to use. They've used it as long as they have existed. They've even used the poison cup on their own. When one of their own had their company disbanded and dissolved, so he thought, yeah, well, they gave him the poison cup. He was poisoned. And guess what happened? The next man in succession to take the place of the man of sin, to sit in that seat, yeah, well, he reinstated that shadow government, that army that I call the shadow government that works for the Antichrist. You know of whom I speak. Do I need to name names? Yeah. They know of whom I speak. Yeah, you better believe it. So the Egyptians I will give to the hand of a cruel lord. The Americans will I give over to the hand of a cruel lord. And a fierce king shall rule over them, saith the Lord of hosts. And the water shall fail from the sea, and the rivers shall be wasted and dried up. And they shall turn the rivers far away. Yeah, America does that all the time. I mean, they got water from the Colorado River running in L.A. You wonder why it's dried up? Yeah, they've taken the water from everywhere and dried it up. Yeah. So, they shall turn the rivers far away, and the brooks of defense shall be emptied and dried up. The reeds and flags shall wither. And of course, this is referring to the defense of Egypt was its rivers and its waterways, which they dried up by turning them away. Well, we've dried up Americans. I shouldn't say we, but, you know, in a lot of ways, we are like Egypt. In some ways, some particulars, we aren't. But we have done this. But those aren't our defense as they were for Egypt, which was just one state. America is 50 states. Okay. So, you know, you got to take that difference into account there. But how about our defenses? Well, America has a place that it gained through two world wars to becoming the most powerful nation on earth. And I believe the earth beast of chapter 13. And I believe from the evidence and from the expositions that I've done, which no one has been able to refute, I believe that it cannot be set aside. The interpretation of America as the earth beast must be seriously considered, and more seriously considered than anything else that has been brought up. And I didn't originate the idea. I have developed it beyond far beyond what was suggested, you know, several hundred years ago upon the rise of America. You know, there had been whispers of it for the last couple hundred years. But, you know, it's finally become evident. And all of the ideas that were provided before the rise, okay, the wounded head, because you could only speculate until the head was wounded and then what was going to take its place and fulfill the prophecy of the second earth beast of Revelation. You could only speculate until it became obvious. Well, it has become obvious. And still, so the question is, what of the United States? What of the 50 states of America? Because when I think when we're speaking of the head of Washington, D.C., we're talking about one thing, which belongs to the Antichrist. And then when you're talking about the 50 separate states, which are separate from that one, I think we have to take into account reality. So, like I said, when the shoe fits, that's when you put it on. So it's very important for people today to read all of the judgments that are throughout all of the prophets of the Old Testament and see what fits them, what fits their locality, what fits them personally, or those that they associate with themselves with. Because there are people that are guilty of murder who, having never actually committed the act physically, you know that? Because they revel in abortion. And then there are those that have never committed sodomy or any that type of sin at any time in their life. But they support it, they laud it, and they revel in it, and they joyfully celebrate it, which makes them guilty and makes all of the judgment that fits that shoe applicable to them. So when people start saying we, and they're speaking about what the American government does, I have to object. They may be part of it, they may identify it, but I refuse to. Okay, I'll be back in a few minutes. Don't go anywhere.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
Hi, I'm Nicholas Arthur, and I'd like to introduce you to my latest book, Reformed Prophecy Interpretation, An Apology for Reformed Premillennial Historicism in the 21st Century. As with primitive biblical Christianity, historicism is the method of prophecy interpretation restored with the advent of the Protestant Reformation, and had become so widely held that for a long time it was called the Protestant view. My book is not so much about the errors of dispensationalism or amillennialism. Rather, it is about the historicist alternative to understanding many of the same passages from the vantage point of prophecy fulfilled in history. For those that desire more than mere hypotheses, bolstered with conjectured speculation, those who require explicit biblical exegesis and verified historical fulfillment, and are not willing to accept speculation as anything other than what it is, speculation, not truth. This book is for you. Over the last century, this method of interpretation has become almost completely forgotten, even by Protestants, in the face of a method that is based almost entirely on future speculation, rather than fulfilled prophecy in history. In my book, I examine the reasons for this and investigate some of the prophecy which has been fulfilled in the interim, as well as present an apology for Reformed premillennial historicism to the 21st century. If you're interested in a copy of my book, you can go to my website, crosstheborder.org, and get more information there. Or you may also find it at Amazon. Welcome back. You're listening to Cross Border. This is a live prophecy reality edition talking about the burden of America, the judgment that are on America. And you'll notice that those that have received a great tribulation here in America and many other parts of the world, because they all did it in lockstep, the most gullible, those most willing to go along with the narrative of evil rulers, went along with it and paid the highest price. Yeah. They paid the price highest, perhaps even with their life, with their health, with the lives and the health of their children, because they simply went along. They didn't question. They didn't turn to God and say, Lord, what would you have me do? They didn't love the truth so much that they could not, that they could identify a lie easily. That brought judgment upon many. Many innocent, many people who had no choice. Perhaps their lives are in the hands of others to make decisions for them. God is the judge. And we all die, sooner or later. Yes, better later, that we don't die at the hand of foolish and wicked and evil in the world to satisfy the lust for power and money that they have. Now, continuing here in chapter 19 of Isaiah, we talked about they dried up the rivers and their defenses are gone. And what good are defenses when they can fool the people into killing themselves and destroying their own health? I'd say the defenses are down when that can happen. It says, surely the princes of Zoan are fools. You know, these are the ones they're turning to for counsel. The counsel of the wise counselors of the government has become brutish. They say they're wise. They think they're wise. They are the sons of lifelong politicians. And where are they? Where are thy wise men? And let them tell thee now, and let them know what the Lord of hosts has purposed upon, well, America for its judgment. Yes, they're become fools. They're deceived. They have seduced the nation. The Lord has mingled a perverse spirit in the midst thereof. Is that fitting for America today? Has God mingled a perverse spirit in the midst thereof? And they have caused, it says Egypt, but America to err in every work thereof, as a drunken man staggereth in his vomit. You know, I've been sitting here and talking about the drought, the dried up rivers, and my well failed, and I was going to get a new well put in last September. Yeah. Last September they had me, and something happened. They had a supply chain shortage of well casing and parts for their rigs. And here I sit, how many months, 6-7 months later, and I'm still waiting for a well. But I haven't suffered. I have water delivered. And, but I don't want to go through another summer without water in my well. Now, my well was 120 feet deep when it ran out. And so I'm going to go down 220 feet or 240 feet, something like that. And that'll give me over 100 feet of headwater to sink my pump into. That should last me another 40 years, I hope. But how long before that dries up? Because so far I've watched the water drop 40 feet in the last 20 years. Yeah. 40 years, because I started out, the water was 80 feet. My well was 120 feet. Now I've run out of water. That's 40 feet of water in 20 years. So what's that? That's 2 feet per year of water I've lost. So will they use more water? Will it drop faster than that? Yeah, maybe 100 feet. Who knows? I don't know. But it's just, it goes to the supply chain and everything. Nothing's working. Yeah. In that day shall Egypt be like unto women. It shall be afraid and fear because of the shaking of the hand of the Lord of hosts, which he shaketh over it. You know, God can use evil men to invoke fear through lies and deception. Yeah. Has he done that here in America? And the entire West, for that matter. Even the whole earth is shaking now. The whole earth shook 2 years ago. And it's amazing to me that people still buy into the fear. And that's because they don't have the truth. And the land of Judah, and of course, shall be a terror to Egypt. Everyone that maketh mention of it shall be afraid of himself because of the counsel of the Lord of hosts, which he has determined against it. Well, that's not so applicable to America, because Judah was the land where of God's people in that time, and Egypt was the foreigner. Because God had planted his word and his counsel in Judah. In that day shall 5 cities in the land of Egypt speak the language of Canaan and swear to the Lord of hosts. One shall be called the city of destruction. And I believe toward the end part of this chapter, we get to a prophecy of blessing and a change in the people. And that's really what we need in America. In the several states, and it always gets down to individually, because there cannot be a mass repentance. Can people repent in mass? Well, only if that mass of people repent individually can you have a mass repentance. And that would be nice, and it needs to begin at the house of the Lord. But I saw so many turn away and join over the last couple of years, so many churches and church leaders, as they're called, and many that follow them. Many of them are suffering now for following them. They're suffering with deaths in their family and sickness but it's kind of an odd thing. Because some people I know who subjected themselves to it tend to hold up the research that says, and here I'm getting into banned speech, the research says that not everyone received the same poison cup. Some of the poison cups were benign, you know, no more harmful than saline solution. Yeah. And some of them had different poisons in them. So they depend on the batch you got. So only God knows, yeah, who got what, or because it is all in God's hand when we talk about individual judgments. God is concerned about each one of us. A lot of people who have no concern and have no time for God, or think, well, I'm not a religious person or whatever, and they're just out there thinking that through their own cunning and intellect that they can get the best result for their own life. But God, it is the one whom you have to do with. You can't live your life. I mean, you can, but you can do it to your own destruction. You can live your life as if he doesn't matter, or as if he has nothing to do with you and you have nothing to do with him. And you're going to live by your own wits. There's so much throughout the entire book of Isaiah. God deals with that question and that mindset that people have nothing to do with him and ignore him. They ignore him at their own peril, because he does judge on an individual basis. That's the most important basis there is, because it's on that individual basis that we will stand in the last day, or we will fall in the last day. You know, you have to ask yourself, well, do you want to stand or do you want to fall? And there's only one way to stand, and that is to stand with the Almighty, to answer to him, to repent for your shortcomings, and to seek his help in the day of trouble and then every day afterward. Of course, God always uses trouble to bring people to him. And then the question is, will they stay with him, or will they get through the temporary trouble that they're in and forget all about him again? In that day there shall be an altar to the Lord in the midst of the land, and a pillar at the border of the land thereof. So, you know, those that seek God can be in the middle of the land, or they can be on the border. It's not going to be over the whole land, in other words. That's what God is saying, that people will worship me here and there, even though the most of the nation will not. Well, you know, our job on an individual basis is to make sure that we are those that stand, that have an altar to the true and living God, that we are that altar to the true and living God, because God doesn't dwell in buildings made by men's hands, because we are not buildings made by men's hands. But that's why the enemy, our enemy, the enemy of mankind, wants and desires so badly, so much to destroy the code that God has written. The code, the instruction that God used to create mankind and perpetuate mankind. Because God made the first man and woman. He created them out of the dust of the ground. But the code that he used and he wrote into them to have children and raise up more children unto him, they desire to alter it. The enemy of mankind desires to alter it now, and that's what they will do. And this is something that has never been done before, not with any technology that man has had a chance to even play with before. And they still don't know what they're playing with. You can see all they could really do by altering that code is wreak havoc on mankind and destroy what God has created, but God will destroy those that destroy his creation. We talked about that last week or the week before, the destroyers of the earth. Yeah, I see. It's ridiculous, Michael and Fireman Mike in the chat room. The UN agenda crooks want to make wells illegal and even outlaw collecting rainwater in barrels. Well, it's because they want to poison your water and they want to make sure everyone drinks the same water, a water that has poison in it that makes you more docile. Yeah, because they found that's what fluoride does in water. It makes a population more docile. And they love those docile populations because those people will do whatever they're told. Yeah. So make sure you're not drinking city water with fluoride and other God knows what else is in it besides those that put the additives in it. Yeah. Okay. Well, we're getting to the end of this first hour. Speaking of the burden of America. And then second hour, I'm going to go through headlines and current events, and we'll see what we have. If you got any articles you'd like me to look at, you can post those in the chat room. Something you saw this week you thought might be important or worthy of sharing, I'd be glad to take a look at that. So we got about 10 minutes left here in this hour. It shall be a sign... It shall be for a sign and for a witness unto the Lord of hosts in the land, for they shall cry unto the Lord because of the oppressors, and he shall send them a Savior and a great one, and he shall deliver them. And the Lord shall be known to Egypt or to the Americans, and the Americans shall know the Lord in that day, and shall do sacrifice and oblation to him. Yea, they shall vow a vow unto the Lord and perform it. Are you ready? And that's, I mean, if there's anything that's going to stay the judgment on the land as a whole, it's going to be that. People repenting and living their lives, being the temple that God made them to be, worshiping God with their whole minds and their hearts and their souls. That's what we need to see in America. I don't have to point to any specific sins. Everyone knows the Holy Spirit. He has his job and he does it well. Whether people listen to him or not, that's another thing. Because many people have blasphemed the Holy Spirit. And by continually ignoring his call to repentance, they've continually ignored him year after year. Yes, decade after decade even. Some, even after years and decades of ignoring the Holy Spirit, can listen, can fall down on their knees and beg God to forgive them and to help them conform their lives to the image of his only begotten Son. It can happen. It does happen. God has called some terrible people to repentance. Yeah, and when all of those fallible men that are written of in the scripture, murderers, adulterers, thieves, all repented, came, and accepted the mercy of God, because he is a merciful God, and he will have mercy on those whom he will. And how do you find out if you're one of those and you haven't received his mercy yet? Well, test it. Yeah, come and see that the Lord is good, and you will find it if you seek it with all your heart, because he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. You can't say, well, I sought him and that didn't work. Yeah. That's not very diligent. A lot of people will try it. Oh, I tried that. Yeah, I did it diligently too. Yeah, sure you did. Yeah. As one who has and would not let go of God, I know what diligence it took. and more than I had the strength for. He even had to give me the strength to be diligent and to stay with him. I can say he chose me and he never let me go. And I'm so grateful that he did. Yeah. Okay, let's see. What else do we have here? They shall vow a vow to the Lord and perform it. And the Lord shall smite Egypt. He shall smite and heal it. And they shall return even to the Lord. And he shall be entreated of them and shall heal them. See, nice, beautiful words of healing, of the mercy and the love of God that he has to those that will turn to him. In that day there shall be a highway out of Egypt to Assyria, and the Assyrian shall come into Egypt, and the Egyptian into Assyria, and the Egyptian shall serve with the Assyrians. Of course, I think we're getting way ahead here now, because that time is coming where this prophecy will be fulfilled. And it shows you what I see here by this, the end of this prophecy, is that the prophecy is forever and the rewards are forever and his healing is forever, because he goes off into the next age, the age to come, where this prophecy will be fulfilled, which it has not been fulfilled yet. In that day shall Israel be the third with Egypt and Assyria, even a blessing in the midst of the land, whom the Lord of hosts shall bless, saying, blessed be Egypt, or blessed be America, my people, and Assyria, the works of my hands, and Israel, my inheritance. So he puts Israel at the center, and of course that's true Israel, the Israel of God, you know, the elect are his inheritance. And really we're talking about Christ here. And Christ is what brings the disparate nations together, as I would say is typified by the end of this prophecy. And that's chapter 19 of Isaiah. Okay, when we get back, we're going to look, I have some things lined up here for you. Ooh, two-front war. Washington pushes China into the hands of Russia. I don't know. Yes, Washington pushes China into Russia's arms. How about senile, brain-dead, corrupt jackass wants to reorder the entire world? Yeah, we'll leave it in his capable hands, right? Republican warmongers, the CIA and the Nazis, a retrospective history. Now, that sounds like the machinations of the Antichrist to me. Because he had his hands in it all. As I said before, the CIA stands for Catholics in Actions. Of course, the Catholics being the shadow government that work for the Antichrist, and not the individuals out there, because most of them don't have a clue what's going on. Because if they did, well, they started reading their Bibles, because that's what happens when you read the Bible. You become, if you're a Catholic and you read the Bible, you just are in real danger of becoming a Protestant. Because that's how it happened, you know, back in the 16th century, during that century of Reformation, Catholics would get copies of the Bible because they weren't allowed to. And everybody wants what's not allowed, right? So Catholics would get the Bible and read it. And of course, then they would turn into Protestants, because that's what God's word does. It makes you protest against the lies and the evil and the great apostasy and the man of sin. And yes, that's the very meaning of what it means to be a Protestant witness for God's word. Anyway, there's our signal. We're going to take a break here, have some news, and we'll come back and we will talk about news and current events.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mined supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Oh, welcome back. You're listening to Across the Border. We're in our second hour here of Prophecy Reality Worldview Weekly. And we're going to take a look at what's going on in the world out there, what's in the news. We got some headlines here. The bloom is off the ruse as New Zealand drops almost all COVID restrictions, including vax passports, mandates, and QR codes. So anyway, there's a little relief there from the narrative. Whether they're going to bring it back or how fast or how hard they're going to bring it back, I don't know. It's a wonder to me that if they bring this thing back and try to impose it again, it'll be a wonder to me if people will capitulate as they did before. After the last 2 or 3 years, nothing will surprise me anymore. And how people will just, we'll see. We'll just have to wait and see. Let's see. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis issues proclamation recognizing NCAA women's swimmer. And I can guess what that's all about. Yes. How they let a man swim. Uh-oh. See, now I'm breaking Google rules again. every time, it's no wonder that I keep getting kicked off of Google videos there, because they have rules about everything. Yeah, everything that's in the news and that you could talk about today. If you talk about the war, you're going to be politically incorrect. If you talk about the V, you're politically incorrect. If you talk about, transgender issues and they don't like what you're saying about it, if you don't join in the grand delusion and the great lie, then you will be stricken. Yes, they will strike you with. And that was Babylon Bee. They put out something. Oh yeah, that's right. And they got kicked off of Twitter. And then Twitter demanded that they delete the post from their account and that they would be restored once they did that. See, it's not enough that they just take your stuff down. They want to make you comply. And of course, Babylon Bee said they would not comply. So I guess they're not going to be on Twitter anymore. Well. So, I never got into the Twitter thing myself. I have several Twitter accounts and I don't do anything with them. They're just kind of connected to my blog. So if I post a blog, it automatically goes there. But I don't know. Anyway, back to our issues here. Not to forget the 23rd anniversary of NATO's vicious war against Yugoslavia. See, now this is politically incorrect of me too. How dare I bring up Yugoslavia, a nation that it doesn't even exist. Never existed. That's right. Never existed. Right? Yugoslavia, that never existed. There was no such thing as that. They weren't making those Yugo cars, right? And they weren't advertising them in California with the guy going, you go to Milpitas, you go to whatever city that, you know, and he was trying to sell Yugos. Remember those Yugos? Yeah, that nation never existed. Yeah. It's the 23rd anniversary of NATO's vicious war against Yugoslavia. Do we have a vicious war against a nation today? Yeah, you can just put another name in there and just, you know, I mean, their vicious war started several years ago. It's just become something that they can use now to distract from something else that was unraveling. And, you know, that's the thing about those that want to control the world. They think they're so wise, but all they can do is wreck the world. And then when things start getting noticeably, overwhelmingly messy and obvious, well, then they want to change the narrative, see? So, and then so it becomes impolitically correct to talk about another thing. Another narrative, another scam that they're trying to run on the whole world lockstep. It seems they have some power because they keep doing it over and over, and people just line up from every side to join in the narrative and go along with it and, you know, join the crowd hand in hand. Yeah, but they won't save them from this God Almighty, though they join hand in hand. Defense giants quietly making billions on the new Yugoslav war. I'll put it that way. The new Yugoslavia war, yes. Defense giants quietly making billions. You know, it's always someone's making billions. See, this is how they rape the little people, you know, us, you know, small people out here who have to work, all of us useless eaters that have to work by the sweat of our brow to create everything they have just so they can steal it from us. Yeah. But quietly making billions. Yes, that's why they love war, a new war they get to make more money on. Soros, other NGOs join U.S. attack on Georgian government over, yes, the narrative. Anyone doesn't want to go along with the narrative, they will get attacked by people like Soros and other NGOs joining the misfit regime that was implanted during the last non-election in the United States of America. Oh, the largest global land grab in human history. Now, that's an interesting one. And this is from, oh, Technocracy News. I did read that article. And this is from, of course, yes, have you ever heard of a natural asset company? In short, we're not referring here to the glutathione precursor. It won't surprise us if you haven't. We've only recently come across the term ourselves, and we're coming to the view that it may facilitate the biggest corporate land grab in recent history. That is, if we, the people, don't put a stop to it. You know, I wish it was up to the people, and I wish it was something the people could do. Because you know what? You know how people grab the land, right? Well, it takes money. And we, the people, don't have money. So it says, that is, if we, the people, don't put a stop to it. But is there something we can do? Well, I guess that we, the people, have to know first before we can stop the great land grab that's going on now, because it tends to the health of the people. Yes. If you believe that nature should never become a commodity that's bought and sold by a powerful few, read on. Well, I agree with that statement. Yes, nature should never be a commodity that is bought and sold by a powerful few. The fact that the moneyed minority feel they have the right to effectively barcode nature is quite breathtaking in its greed and arrogance. Should I answer that? Yes, Do you have something to say that you want everyone on the air to hear? I didn't think so. Okay. Yeah. I don't know why it's so important to interrupt me. No, nobody's listening or watching me anyway. I don't know why they bother to give me strikes on my videos. When there are guys out there that doing it, that have hundreds of thousands and millions of views, saying much more than I am on the same platforms. It seems rather curious to me. You know what the difference is? They don't identify the Antichrist. That's the difference. Yeah. So they can get away with it. Yeah, up to a point. Let's see, the fact that the moneyed minority, and that is those whom the Antichrist and his shadow government has blessed. Yes. They have canonized them with money. They said, you are worthy to have money because you will carry out our objective. You will help to carry out our objective. That's the way the world works. That's the reality. The fact that the moneyed minority feel that they have a right to effectively barcode nature is quite breathtaking in its greed and arrogance. Though not all that surprising when you look at what's been happening over the past 2 years. We really are being called to clean house on so many levels. Well, I guess we're going to have to leave the cleaning house up to God Almighty. See, we've created an infographic for the exploitation. And I've seen this infographic. This is to how the moneyed are grabbing the resources of the earth. And that's what they're doing. One example, of course, is Bill Gates is now the largest farmland owner in America. Yeah, that's part of the grab that he's talking about. And they want to patent everything. Of course, so if they change your DNA, do they now own you? Are you truly human? Are you a true blood? You know, the blood that the Bible speaks of, that we were all one blood. Yeah. Are you truly, you would be altered at least. And it seems the alterations aren't going well anyway. So don't let them alter your genetic coding, because these people have no idea really what they're doing. They just think they do. Well, anyway, he's talking about this. The what is an NAC? September 2021, the New York Stock Exchange quietly announced that it had created a new asset class with a listing to preserve and restore the natural assets that ultimately underpin the ability for there to be life on Earth. It looks both innocent and protective. Who doesn't want to preserve and restore the planetary resources on which we all depend? However, the subtext is that corporations who fit into this asset class, natural asset company, NAC, get to maintain, manage, and develop the natural resources on a given piece of land. It's effectively a fast track to commodifying nature's natural resources. Less about protecting nature and more about making money through nature's economy, which has been attributed a tantalizing price tag. Anyway, you can see where that's going. Exploiting natural resources. These people have the money, and they want to rule the world. I'm sure glad that Jesus is coming to set up his kingdom. It may not be in the next 7 years, and it may not be in some pre-tribulation rapture, but he is coming. He's just not coming on the Counter-Reformation, 7 year tribulation deception timeline. Yeah. Still waiting for that to begin though. I posited that it will begin. Likely they'd like to see it start, I believe, so that it can happen in conjunction with 2030, the end of it, that is. So if you got, you know, 2030 minus 7, what do you got? You got 2023. So we're looking for something that has to begin, that they have to get underway in the next 2 years, although they have so much going on. I mean, the shadow government is really big, and they have somebody, I mean, to run the world for the Antichrist, man, you got to have a lot of pots on a lot of fires in a lot of places, and you have to keep them all going. Well, you'd think these people believe that they were omnipotent, that are trying to rule the world. Well, they think they're omnipotent, but yeah, and they're not giving up either. Yes, they won't give up as long as there's breath in them, because they are animated by the dark powers of Satan. Yeah, the ruler of this world is what the Bible calls him in at least one place, and the rulers of evil. Let's see. Well, let's see what else we have here. Let's get any comments. Churchill said that the Balkans produce more history than they consume. Yes, the fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso puts his trust in the Lord shall be safe. I'll say amen to that, because many people were snared by the fear brought about 2.5 or 2 years ago, however long it's been, and into doing something that they would not have done if they were told the truth about it in the first place, that what it was, they would not have taken it. Yeah. But when people don't love the truth, they become blind to it. That's problematic for those people, unfortunately. If they don't love the truth, you become blind to the truth. Yes, and remember who said, I am the truth. And that's where we begin, with our knowledge of the truth. Let's see what else we have here. Two-front war. Washington pushes China into Russia's arms. Yes, old bloviating Joe over there, and his son, who have become rich, who China has been paying with cash dividends. And of course, where did China get all that money? Yeah, it was the shadow government had pushed America into selling itself out, because all they have to do is pay off all the whores in the cat house on the hill over there in Washington, D.C., and they sold out America over the last 40 or 50 years and sent all of our industry to China. Now China thinks they're the big, you know, because they were able to steal. You saw where they were before they got, where they were enabled to steal all of our industry. You see where their industry got them, especially with the communist rule over the last however long it's been that they've been communist. And it wasn't communism that brought them out of the dark ages. Yeah, it was all of those. Well, it was, of course, the implementation of the shadow government. And how did they do this? Well, they by gaining control of all the money on Earth. That's when you control all the money, you can do whatever you want. And is really, is Washington pushing China into Russia's arms? You know, I don't know. I think there's someone, like I said, though some of these leaders go rogue, ultimately the Antichrist and his shadow government are in every one of these nations. And those that don't go along or perhaps are just in the wrong place, you know, will suffer the worst for it. And of course, the whole world has suffered in lockstep over the last couple years because of the Antichrist rule of the world, though people don't recognize it. But perhaps, you know, we understand by scripture that the 10 horns, those 10 powers in Europe, are going to turn on the whore that rides the beast. sometime between now and when Christ returns. So, you know, I may be a lone voice out here, or one of very few, terrifically shadow banned because of it, that is identifying the Antichrist. It seems there's going to come a point where a lot more people are going to see it. And they're certainly not going to see it because I'm telling them, obviously. But their hand is going to be laid bare and open, because God is just. And he's going to judge her even before he comes, even before the Battle of Armageddon. Yeah. But when he does, you'll know the end is very near. At least the end for this era. People speak of, think the world thinks of the end with trepidation and fear. I think of it with longing and happiness, because, you know, though I may have to suffer in the flesh, and I may even have to die and be planted in the ground, the end is going to be wonderful. Yeah. That much I know and have an assurance of. Okay, let's see what else we got here. Senile, brain dead, corrupt jackass wants to reorder the entire world. So says Senile Joe in his latest teleprompter reading. Oh yeah, he talked about, he was implementing a new world. He used the phrase new world order. And I believe that's what, Tom DiLorenzo here is referring to. Is that really one of the delegated powers in the Constitution? He asks. Did he really campaign on that? I must have missed that one campaign speech he gave in a school parking lot with a couple dozen masks cowering in their cars, horn honking, terrified Democrat Party flunkies. You know, those terrified people we were talking about earlier. Yeah. So that's hilarious. See what else we got here. The best line from the Austrian Economics Research Conference. Last weekend was the annual Austrian Economics Research Conference at the Mises Institute in Auburn, Alabama. The best line of the conference, in my opinion, was a suggestion that MMT, Modern Monetary Theory, be relabeled as ZMT, Zimbabwean Monetary Theory, because that's the end of it. And we've realized that we've taught that and learned that that's the end of all paper, fiat currency is the failure of the economy. But that's the purpose. But, you know, it goes to show you, though the Antichrist and his shadow government want to crash the economies all the world, they're working very hard to do it. It shows you how little control they really have. I mean, it apparently will eventually happen because they have control of all the money, but money kind of has a life of its own that fights against them itself. Yeah. So it's not quite happening. They wanted it by 2018, weren't able to do it. Now they're afraid it's not going to happen because they moved their target date to 2030, and they still have their target date. So they're doing everything they can to make sure 2030 is the target they hit. They don't care how many people they have to kill, how many supply lines they have to disrupt, if they have to, you know, cut off their own nose to spite their face, they're going to get it done. That's their new tactic. That's exactly what they are doing, because they're going to not only cut off the nose of their own face, they're going to do far worse damage to themselves before they're going to get this done. But that's their judgment that will come on them. Okay, we'll be back after some messages.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for Missionary Radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our Listen and Schedule pages on the Internet. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
Hi, I'm Nicholas Arthur, and I'd like to introduce you to my latest book, Reformed Prophecy Interpretation, an apology for Reformed premillennial historicism in the 21st century. As with primitive biblical Christianity, historicism is the method of prophecy interpretation restored with the advent of the Protestant Reformation, and had become so widely held that for a long time it was called the Protestant view. My book is not so much about the errors of dispensationalism or amillennialism. Rather, it is about the historicist alternative to understanding many of the same passages from the vantage point of prophecy fulfilled in history. For those that desire more than mere hypotheses, bolstered with conjectured speculation, those who require explicit biblical exegesis and verified historical fulfillment, and are not willing to accept speculation as anything other than what it is, speculation, not truth, this book is for you. Over the last century, this method of interpretation has become almost completely forgotten, even by Protestants, in the face of a method that is based almost entirely on future speculation, rather than fulfilled prophecy in history. In my book, I examine the reasons for this and investigate some of the prophecy which has been fulfilled in the interim, as well as present an apology for Reformed premillennial historicism to the 21st century. If you're interested in a copy of my book, you can go to my website, crosstheborder.org, and get more information there, or you may also find it at Amazon. Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. This is a live prophecy reality worldview weekly edition. Come here once a week and we talk about prophecy, and then we talk about what's going on in the world out there. And we've come to it. I have here Republican warmongers. Republicans have looked better than their usual sorry selves lately because they have been generally much quicker than Democrats to jettison the draconian COVID measures that have strangled Americans for 2 years. But when it comes to Ukraine, their true nature is showing again. According to Republican leader Mitch McConnell, the vast majority of the Republican Party writ large, both in Congress and across the country, are totally behind the Ukrainians and urging the president to take these steps quicker, to be bolder. There may be a few lonely voices off to the side. I wouldn't pay much attention to them. He said that if he were a majority leader, he would have brought the supplemental funding for Ukraine to the floor as a standalone bill, because virtually every one of my members would have voted for it. That's because they are bloodthirsty warmongers who are in the pockets of the defense contractors who donate to them. Now, will this lead to World War III? Will there be nukes flying all over the world? Yeah, well, I don't have the answer for that. But that certainly seems to be the new fear narrative. My view is, I don't know what's going to happen. Yeah. I don't know if nukes will fly or not. And there's absolutely nothing I can do about it. Everything I could do, I've already done. I've repented of my sins. I desire to live a life that's pleasing to God. And what more can I do? And I pray for world leaders, even, those out there, and I preach the gospel to everyone I have a chance to preach the gospel to, through the good and the bad. Guy delivers me water. I preach the gospel to him. He seems to be willing to listen to me too. Yeah. How about that? A willing audience of one shows up once a week. And yeah. So that's all I can do. And if there's nuclear war and they nuke LA or they nuke the town near me or they wipe Washington DC off the map, there's nothing I can do about it. If it happens, it happens. Only God knows what's going to happen. I don't. I have no clue. But I'm not going to be afraid of it, because if it's going to happen, it's going to happen. And my fear will have accomplished nothing. Now, I'm going to try to be ready, try to have some extra water. And I do have extra water. I've got a 3,000-gallon tank sitting in front of my house. I have another 1,000 tank hidden. Well, it's out of sight anyway. And then I have bottles of water. So I have water anyway. I'm not going to run out of water soon. If the power goes off, I will actually be the one with more water than my neighbors. Yeah. Think about that. So all my neighbors will be out of water. The city, if the power goes off, if they take down, see, and that's what we have to be ready for. For that. Do I have enough beans to feed myself for a year? Likely I do, to feed myself and my family for a year. So I could feed others and not last a year, but hey, I got beans and rice and that's what I can do. That's what a healthy fear, the scripture says that the wise man sees trouble coming and he makes preparations or hides himself or makes preparations for the trouble that's coming. And nice troubles everywhere, but I can't live in fear because of it, because I was born into this time. It's not like God was surprised. Oh my goodness, Nicholas, I'm sorry, but I didn't notice that all these bad things were going to happen during your lifetime. Yeah. So see, there's no surprises. Yeah. If my trust is in him, then I absolutely have nothing to fear, not even death itself. Yeah. And well, that's what the gospel is all about, preparing people for eternity. Because if you don't fear death, then everything less than that, should hold no spell of fear over you. Anyway, the Republicans aren't, I can't look to the Republicans. That's like, Judah looking to the Egypt or the Assyrians for help in their time of trouble, in their time of judgment, national judgment. Yeah. There's no help from anywhere. If God is going to judge, he's going to judge. The judgment is here, if your fear is not going to put it off or allay it or stop it from coming in any way. So we can't trust in the Republican warmongers. Obviously, these people are just happy that a war showed up. So something they could support, I guess, without getting in trouble with there because everyone else is buying into the narrative. Unbelievable. And of course, half of everything I'm saying here today is worthy of getting a strike on YouTube for. So I may get another strike. I think I'll just take the video down right after the broadcast. off of YouTube anyway. They don't deserve me anyhow. I'm thinking about leaving YouTube for good and just moving over to, I think, Rumble. I might just go live on Rumble. It's just the other things I'm live on. I can't, I can't embed. So that's why I like to use YouTube, because I can embed it when I'm live on my own web page there, on my chat room page. Okay, let me check the chat room. Nope, nothing new in there. Anyway, I want to thank you all for showing up there in the chat room. I got someone from Florida, Ohio, Texas, Milpitas, California, Pacific, I can't read that, Edmonton, Alberta, Massachusetts, Georgia, Akron, Ohio. I think that's a Fireman Mike, isn't it? And someone from North Holland, Amsterdam, and then it drops off the page. I can't read the rest. But anyway, thank you for showing up from all over the country and all over the world, I guess. yeah. Thank you for showing up today. Let's see what else we got. The CIA and the Nazis, a retrospective history. Well, there's a documentary here, and we're not going to watch this documentary. Although if it's put up here on Lou Rockwell, it's bound to be good. Although they do have a lot of rebellious Catholics over there at Lou Rockwell. You know, they don't want to go along with the Antichrist narrative, and they protest against it. Don't worry, the Antichrist, he wants you dead too. He doesn't care if you're an adherence to his great apostasy or not. You're still a rebellious, and you might even have warm feelings for your Protestant fellow citizens out there. Boy, he just can't have that. Or at least he showed that he can't deal with that or put up with it in history, because he took down those that were considered helping the enemy. Yeah. It's because you had a warm heart. Okay. Well, that's all of those. This is from the LRC blog. Let's see what else we got here. Oh, the global land grab. We talked about that. And let's see what else do we have here. Running out of stuff. Well, they're not running out. Let's see. Petrodollar system flirts with collapse. What it means for gold, oil, and the dollar. And this is, oh, okay. Guess I have to go somewhere else to get this article. Here we go. What it means. It's been rightly said that he who holds the gold makes the rules. And well, of course, we know who has most of the gold, but it's nice to have a little bit. I can't afford much because I have very little gold. I got a couple pieces. I do have more silver, though. I figure I'm a little more practical-minded, you know, because to trade a silver quarter for a tank of gas or, a bag of rice or something is more along my line of thinking of making it through tough times. See, after World War II, the U.S. had the largest gold reserves in the world, by far, along with winning the war. This let the U.S. reconstruct the global monetary system around the dollar. And I don't know, who had this money? Who had this gold? You mean by World War II, you mean the Federal Reserve hadn't stolen it all yet? Well, that was why they installed the Federal Reserve. That's why the Antichrist installed the Federal Reserve banking cabal in the U.S. and called it Federal Reserve, of course, to deceive the masses, the American citizenry, into thinking it was part of the government. But that was to steal all the wealth of America. And so they had a lot of gold then, still, by the end of World War II. They probably collected a lot of gold through the war, because fortunes are made, and fortunes were made through that war. The new system created a Bretton Woods conference in 1944. Whoops. Don't like that when I'm reading. It changes. tied the currencies of virtually every country in the world to the U.S. dollar through a fixed exchange rate. It also tied the U.S. dollar to gold at a fixed rate of $35 per ounce. And, you know, that's why, one reason why America prospered is because we had a fixed rate of money fixed to an asset. Of course, that's long gone. It's way gone now. The dollar was said to be as good as gold because it was, at least for the rest of the world. They took away the gold from all the Americans in about 1930, and the Federal Reserve bankers did, and they stole it through legal means. Legal does not mean lawful. There is a difference between legal and lawful. The Bretton Woods systems made the U.S. dollar the world's premier reserve currency. It forced other countries to store dollars for international trade or to exchange with the U.S. government for gold. And they would bring their dollars to the gold window and cash them in for gold. Yeah, that's why the American dollar was as good as gold. I wish it still was. I wish that we never had a Federal Reserve, but I think we're going to go back to a true money standard when Christ returns, and not until then. Yeah, I read in the Bible that we still have the mark of the beast imposition, and which will be brought about by the crashing of all the world's economies, which they're trying very hard to do. But 2030 is their latest, their newest date set for that. However, it was doomed to fail. Yeah, we know how that happened. Runaway spending on warfare and welfare caused the U.S. government to print more dollars than it could back with gold at the promised price. It's the temptation. Mm-hmm. By the late 60s, the number of dollars circulating had drastically increased relative to the amount of gold backing them. This encouraged foreign countries to exchange their dollars for gold, draining the U.S. gold supply at an alarming rate. It was alarming, I tell ya. To plug the drain, President Nixon, and that was in 71, around 1970, temporarily suspended the dollar's convertibility into gold in 1971. This ended the Bretton Woods system and severed the dollar's last tie to gold. A little history lesson here for those of you who need a little refresher or never knew this. The temporary suspension is still in effect today. Imagine that. It's temporary. Temporarily permanent or permanently temporary. They have a lot of permanently temporary things going on, like emergencies. Emergencies are temporary because they're emergencies, you see, but they just extended the emergency. But there was already other emergencies that were still going on and had never been suspended. So the temporary suspension is still in effect today. It had profound geopolitical consequences. Most critically, eliminated the main reason foreign countries stored large amounts of U.S. dollars and used the U.S. dollar for international trade. As a result, oil-producing countries began to demand payment in gold instead of rapidly depreciating dollars. It was clear that the U.S. would have to create a new monetary system to stabilize the dollar, so it concocted a new scheme and chose Saudi Arabia as its ally. And this agreement became to be known as the petrodollar system. And you're all familiar with this. We started talking about this back in the 90s. I inverted my 9 there. You see how I did that? Yeah, in the 90s, the 60s. I was just talking about the 60s. It was the end of the 60s, 1970. When they closed the gold window, shut that sucker shut. Yes, the gold was being drained at an alarming rate. The U.S. handpicked Saudi Arabia because of the kingdom's vast petroleum reserves and its dominant position in the global oil market. In essence, the petrodollar system was an agreement that the U.S. would guarantee the House of Saudi's survival. In exchange, Saudi Arabia would do three things. First, it would use its dominant position in OPEC to ensure that all oil transactions would only happen in U.S. dollars. Now, you've heard the mumblings that this is not going to continue very long. As a matter of fact, it's already falling apart. Well, it's doomed to fall apart because it's a false, system. Because they keep printing more and more dollars. Yeah. Second, it would recycle hundreds of billions of U.S. dollars from annual oil revenue into U.S. treasuries. This lets the U.S. issue more debt and finance previously unimaginable budget deficits, which they're still doing today. I mean, nobody imagined 20 years ago how many trillions of dollars and quadrillions now. Now we're moving into quadrillion territory, my friends. Yeah, trillions are not going to be viable anymore. We are quickly moving into quadrillions. And thus, I believe when quadrillions becomes the byword, as trillions has become, I think that's going to be pretty much when we see the end of it. Yes. We have quintillions? Will we make it to quintillions? Well, I don't know. When a gallon of gas costs you, $90, then they'll be talking about quadrillions, and they won't be able to stop it. You'll be paying $1 million for a gallon of gas or a loaf of bread. Yeah. It's happened in other countries. Don't think. Yes, it cannot happen here. It'll fall apart way before we get to that, I believe. Yeah. Cause when it goes off, it's like going to be like a rocket. You know, they talk about the hockey stick. But it gets to a point where it goes straight up and it doesn't stop. And that's the end. Yeah. Third, it would guarantee the price of oil within limits acceptable to U.S. and prevent another oil embargo. The petrodollar system gave foreign countries another compelling reason to hold and use the dollar, and it preserved the dollar's unique status as the world's top reserve currency. But why oil? Yeah. Unmatched geopolitical power. Oil is the largest and most strategic commodity in the world. As you can see the chart below, it dwarfs all the other major commodity markets combined. The annual production value of the oil market is 10 times bigger than gold, than the gold market, for example. And here you see it. Global commodity markets in billions. So you got 1,100 billions, right? So you got to add six more. Oh, yeah, more zeros to that. That would be millions. So you got to get nine more zeros to that to get to billions, I believe. But anyway, it's a lot of money. It's 10 times that of gold as far as commodity trading goes. The 170 billion in gold compared to 10 times that in oil. Every country needs oil. And if foreign countries need U.S. dollars to buy oil, they have a compelling reason to hold U.S. dollars. So we've all learned this in history, but it's how there's a shift, and he calls it here China, the Saudis, and a paradigm shift. We'll just jump to it here. For nearly 50 years, the Saudis had always insisted anyone wanting their oil would need to pay with U.S. dollars, upholding their end of the petrodollar system, but that could all change soon. China is the world's largest importer of oil and Saudi Arabia's top customer. Beijing buys over 25% of Saudi oil exports. Wall Street Journal recently reported the Chinese and the Saudis had entered into a serious discussion to price Saudi oil exports to China in yuan instead of dollars. So you can see that this isn't happening to the Federal Reserve System in spite of the Federal Reserve System because it's the same money changers. It's not America. See, the illusion continues on that people think the Federal Reserve and the dollar is American when they're not. We lost our money in 1913 when the Federal Reserve Act was passed in the middle of the night. The Law That Never Was. It was Benson's book, The Law That Never Was. Look it up. The Law That Never Was. It was illegally passed, as were several other amendments to our Constitution. It was never lawfully passed. It's just like the president, the pretender in chief that sits in the White House now, all done illicitly, illegally, and unlawfully. These people have the money to cheat on anything they want, because if you have enough money, you can cheat on anything, because you can pay enough people off to even where they can commit crimes openly and nobody can touch them and do anything about it. And that is the failing of the systems and the governments of men, because men are fallible and evil can cheat and lie and kill and steal and destroy, and good will do none of those things. So in a world of sin, in a world of evil, evil will prevail, and that's why it does prevail. But it doesn't prevail forever, and that's why it's so important for us to repent and rely solely on God for our salvation, on Jesus Christ, the only propitiation for our sins. And if we do that, we will have life everlasting. May the Almighty bless you and keep you as you continue on the narrow way that leads to life. I'll see you next time.